And hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, I was out the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is September 24, 2020. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled, I Found a Friend. I found a friend, oh such a friend, he loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And from my heart, still closely twined, those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. I found a friend, oh such a friend, he bled, he died to save me, and not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own I call, I hold it for the giver. Shall life or death, or earth or hell, no, I am his forever. I found a friend, oh such a friend, so kind and true and tender. So wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever. My heart, my strength, my life, my all, are his and his forever. Part 5, Judgment of Babylon. We're going to start with Ezra. The first chapter of Ezra, and we're going to start with verse 1, where it says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Okay. Now, what have we just read? We got coming up here, there is an antitypical Cyrus on the scene, Donald Trump. And the events in the world dictates that there's going to be a change in 2017 for a new leadership in this country. And Donald Trump fits the role of antitypical Cyrus. And if indeed he does fit this role, which I believe he does, but then everything that I read about Cyrus the Great of old, then it's gonna happen in the antitype with antitypical Cyrus. Okay? So in Ezra 1:1 it says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now what about Donald Trump? When he takes over as president in 2017, what is that gonna mean? It means that he came on the scene as a king. Even before he wins the presidency, because if he wins the presidency, it means that he becomes the king of Babylon. He's already king of Persia. He's already king of Persia. And he's not even elected yet as the President of the United States, but he comes on the scene as the antithetical king of Persia. Now that's very important, because prophecy has deemed it so. And that being the case, then we're looking at some very, very monumental historical events that are about to come to its fulfillment here just in a few months. So now it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, Donald Trump, king of Persia, and he didn't become king of Babylon until he overthrew Babylon. Then that's when he became king of Babylon. So, when Cyrus overthrew Babylon and the type, it just simply means that he was already a sitting king, a ruler. Well, Donald Trump has his own empire. He sits as the king on top of his empire. He's got a 40-some story building called the Trump Tower that he owns right there in New York City. And he has his office on a whole complete floor there on the 26th or the 27th floor. And his children, his three children, that helps him run his business, and that's helping him also run his campaign, they live on the 26th floor. And they have wives and they have children, they have a family, but they have the whole 26th floor. And that building covers a whole city block. So, you take one whole complete floor of a building that big, you can house three families in it. Donald Trump occupies the whole 27th floor, and he called that building the Trump Tower. So, he's a king in his own right. He has his own tower. He has his own flying planes. He has his own helicopters. The President of the United States flies in helicopters supplied by the government. And some airplanes that are supplied by the government. Donald Trump has his own helicopters. He's got his own airplanes. I know he's got, I believe he's got maybe two airplanes and three helicopters. All right, maybe three and three. I don't know. I just know he has at least two big airplanes. And he pays for his own gas and everything. He pays his own way. Whereas the government, they pay for all of Obama's flying stuff around the country. But anyway, Donald Trump, once he becomes the President of the United States, then he will be the King of Babylon. And in this case, the King of Babylon rules over all the earth. So now we've got Obama that's the King of Babylon right now. And he rules over all the earth. Believe it or not, he does rule over all the earth. Okay, now, the strange thing about this is, say Donald Trump rules, I mean, Obama rules over all the earth. Persia, that's where the ancient headquarters for Babylon used to be, right there on... on the River Euphrates, and that's who Saddam Hussein, that was the head of Iraq, the nation of Iraq, that's where he was at, in Persia. And he was rebuilding that Babylonian temple and the whole Babylonian site when he got arrested and killed by our government in 2003. So, Donald Trump, if he's the antithetical king of the Medes and the Persians. And the Persians, remember, that's where the original headquarters for the capital of Babylon was at, in the top. Was in Persia. Okay? So now, the plot thickens. Donald Trump, when he overthrows Washington, D.C., and drives that king ruler out of there, Obama, Then he becomes king of Babylon, and he's already king of Persia. And Persia represents those Muslims, folks. But keep in mind, Persia was, the kings of Persia was always friendly to Israel. And the Shah of Iran, that used to be the king of Persia back in the 70s and early 80s, when they ousted him, the Ayatollah Khomeini come in and ousted him, he was an ally to the United States. He favored peace, and he was a Persian. Well, that's the only son of Ishmael that had the nation of Persia that favored the Christian people. All the rest of the sons of Ishmael, all the other Arab nations, they hate the Christian people, but not Persia. And Donald Trump is a Persian, and he's a Gentile, and he's a heathen, according to the Bible. He's a heathen, but Yahweh says that he raised him up in righteousness. Isaiah 45:13, he said he's raised him up in righteousness. And so, that's interesting. He said, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. So, Yahweh right now has raised Donald Trump up, antithetical Shars, and he says, I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. So, this is a prophecy. And prophecies cannot fail and will not fail. And he shall let my captives not for price nor reward, says he shall let my captives, he says, not for price nor reward, saith Yahshua. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all of his ways. He shall build my house, and he shall let my captives, I suppose they go free. I don't understand. Not for prize, nor reward. Thus saith Yahweh, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahweh is in thee, and there is none else, there is no Elohim. One of Donald Trump's bitterest enemies in the campaign running for president this year was Ted Cruz. He's a Roman Catholic. His father, they're Spanish, and they come here from South America, and they come into America, became citizens, and run for the political office. And Ted Cruz wants to be president, and his number one arch enemy is Donald Trump, and Donald Trump just humiliated him, totally humiliated him on the campaign trail until the guy lost all credibility with the people, and he had to drop out of the race. And he vowed to do everything he can to fight against Donald Trump and do anything he can to cause him to lose the presidency. And lo and behold, everything that this man plotted and tried to do, and he tried to do all kinds of stuff to lead campaigns against Donald Trump to destroy him. And he just hates him as his bitterest enemy. But all of a sudden, I said, this Ted Cruz knows that if he doesn't come around and back Donald Trump, that his career is over. Now, is he going to choose by sticking to his bitterness? And go out of business and be voted out of office and forever forgotten? Or is he going to acknowledge what's right and come and humble himself and tell everybody that they need to vote for Donald Trump after all? Because even at his bitterest, when Donald Trump had the Republican National Convention, he invited Ted Cruz, his bitterest enemy that he had knocked out of the presidential race, his bitterest enemy, he invited him to come and speak at the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump said, I don't have anything against Ted Cruz. He said, I know I called him Lying Ted, and he told lies, so I called him Lying Ted on the campaign trail, but said, you know, he's not lying no more. He's out there, and he's still working in the Senate and the government, and he's trying to do some good things. He said, Ted Cruz is really a good man. It's just that he lied about some things, and I called his hand on it, but I told the truth. I said, he's a good man, and I invited him to come and speak at the Republican convention, and he came. And Ted Cruz still wouldn't endorse Donald Trump. He just told the people to vote their conscience, but he would not endorse Donald Trump. All of a sudden, my wife reads the news yesterday on Facebook and said, Ted Cruz is telling everybody to vote for Donald Trump. Now, how is that for a complete turnaround? Because Ted Cruz knows that Donald Trump is right. He knows he stands for a future for this country that nobody else stands for. He knows it's in his heart, and so he's humbled himself. I know he's repented in his heart of those bitterness and hatred that he had for Donald Trump. And all of a sudden now he's working for him. Just like I said he would have to do if he wanted to stay in business. Okay. Enough said on that. Now, in Ezra chapter 1, verse 2, then thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Okay. Now, we're in the land of Judah, right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. Matter of fact, we're in the headquarters for Jerusalem here in the Western Hemisphere to be set up. We're at the place geographically where it is antypical Judah temple here in the hill countries of Judea here in Texas, right here in the Austin area. This is where it's at. So it says, and there's to be a house built here a Jerusalem built right here in Judah. Okay. So, that's what it was in the type. And so Donald Trump has told Israel, says, my first priority is that we're going to have peace between you and your neighbor, the Muslim. Says, we're going to have peace between you and the Palestinian. That's the first thing we're going to achieve it. Yeah. Nobody's been able to achieve it up now, but he says, we are going to achieve it when I get in office. So he knows something maybe we don't know. But anyway, it says in Ezra 1:3, who is there among you of all his people? His Yahweh be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is the Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. All right, now, as Timothy's prophecies are being fulfilled in the Antioch, it says that Yahweh Elohim of Israel, he's in Jerusalem. Well, actually, this is talking about Yeshua the Messiah, the Savior, the King, the Redeemer. He's the one that's in Jerusalem. He's coming back in direction of the tribe. Prophecy says that John the Revelator beheld him as lightning that cometh out of the east. And as lightning that comes from the east. Okay, so that's where Yahshua is, his presence is at. As far as his spiritual presence is right there in Jerusalem. Okay, now let's continue on. Ezra 1:4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of Yahweh that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all of them whose spirit Elohim had raised to go up to build the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mitredat, the treasurer, and number them unto Shalbazar, the prince of Judah. Okay, now, you know, Saddam Hussein, the prime minister of Iraq in 2003, when George Bush took the United States Army went over and ousted him and captured him and hung him, did you know that that man was the king of Persia? At the same time, he is masquerading as the king of Iraq, because Iraq is the same thing as Persia. It's the modern-day Persia. They changed its name to Iraq, but it's actually Persia. Okay? So now, Saddam Hussein was, he was doing a bad thing. He was trying to rebuild Babylon against prophecy. Prophecy says it'll never be built again. And he determined that he's going to rebuild it again, Babylon, Jewish former glory, and that he was playing the role of antitypical Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Yahweh says, no, you don't. Babylon will never be built up again. That city will never come back and flourish here in the last days. Said, but there is a Babylon presence, that's the reason they call it Mystery Babylon. It's invisible and it spreads out all over the world. Now, that's the true Babylon, the invisible one. But Saddam Hussein made it a visible Babylon, built back up on his own heaps there on the river Euphrates. He was building it right back in the exact same spot where it was before. Yahweh said there's only one city that's going to be built upon its own heap, and that's Jerusalem here in the last days. It's not going to be Babylon. Because you build up old Babylon again, and then you've got competition against the city of Babylon and the city of Jerusalem. You'll have it again. Yahweh said it's not going to be no more. There's going to be no more Babylon to have to contend with. So it says in Ezra 1:9, and this is a number of them, 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 29, 30 bases of gold, silver bases of a second sort, 410, and other vessels 1,000. All the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All of these this chest Bezer bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. So what are we learning here? We're learning that this is a type. This is going to be repeated. Okay. Now let's go to our next scripture reading on this here Babylon. Let's see if we can find anything. Maybe in Nehemiah. Maybe Nehemiah. That comes after Esther, or Ezra, I mean. So Nehemiah chapter 7. It says, verse 6, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and came again unto Jerusalem and unto Judah, every one unto his city. Nehemiah 13:6, but in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after a certain day obtained I leave of the king. This is talking about Nehemiah. To go back in about 444 B.C., I believe it was, with a commission to raise up the walls that had been broken down and laid down for many, many years. Let's go now into Isaiah, or Psalm. Let's go into Psalm and see what David has to say about this Babylon. Let's go to Psalms chapter 87. And let's read verse 4. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tara with Ethiopia, this man was born there. Psalms 137:1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Verse 8. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Isaiah 13:1. The burden of Babylon which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. So now what was that burden of Babylon? Let's read verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. That's very interesting. Let's go and read the whole 13th chapter of Isaiah and get a better picture of what we're talking about here. It says, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations. Gathered together, the Yeshua of the host musters the host of the battle. Now there you have it right there, Isaiah 13:4. It says, Yeshua, the king of Israel. The king of kings and sovereign of sovereigns. The Messiah, the one that died on the cross to redeem mankind, this fallen race, by his blood. He's called the Yashir host, and he musters the host of the battle. Okay, you can find that, read that in Revelation 19, the man on the white horse, the king of kings and sovereign of sovereigns, that comes with his great army from heaven. To come to this world to do battle with Satan and his army and his minions. Isaiah 13:5. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even to the Yashua and the weapons of his nation to destroy the whole land. Do you get that? They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. So it looks like that there's a bunch of these aliens that are going to be coming from the ends of heaven. It didn't say from the ends of the earth, it said from the end of heaven. How ye, for the day of the Yahweh is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take a hold of them. It shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. It shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Yahweh Yeshua cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, folks, this is a prophecy that's being fulfilled right now in Israel and in the United States simultaneously. Because Barack Obama has got his policy already being carried out to arm all of the thugs and all the black people on the streets and all the Mexican people and anybody that wants to join them and their gangs. He's got illegal guns, and he's got illegal gun peddlers that are bringing those guns by the thousands on our streets here. They're shipping them in here from across the water. They're coming in from Asia. They're coming in from China. They're coming all over. They're coming from the east. They're coming from the west. And they're coming to ashore, and they're bypassing customs. And they're being camouflaged and brought into this country, and they're making it to the streets of the cities. And an average kid on the street can buy him a 9mm handgun that'll shoot at least 18 shells before it stops firing, and he can buy it for as little as $300. All he's got to do is go sell enough drugs to get him $300, and he's got him a pistol. Well, that's what Obama is on him all with. And now he's got the police being prosecuted for shooting anybody, no matter whether it's legal or not. No matter if they shoot somebody that's got a gun and point at them, now the police are being arrested now, and they're being charged with second-degree murder. And it just happened the other day. And so the police's hands are tied. And the key word is racist. It's a code word. So the news media splashes that word across the news media, and that's a signal to the black people to go burn down the cities every time a policeman shoots somebody. Whether the black policeman shoots a black man don't make any difference. It just gives them an excuse to go riot and tear up the city and burn it down if they can. And so that's what you have. That's where we're at today. So it says, behold, the day of the Yahshua cometh. Well, that day is well on its way. It's already here. And it's cruel both with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So all the people that are killing themselves over in the Middle East and in Jerusalem, all these are killed and being killed. They are killing each other. This is one way of Yahweh cleaning the land out of sinners, those that will never accept and serve Him. That's what He's in the process of doing all over the world, is killing out the sinners out of their land. So He says, He's going to lay the land desolate. That fulfills Isaiah 24. And we're right there in the book of Isaiah, so let's just look at Isaiah 24 right quick. It says, behold, the Yahweh maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Okay. So what does that tell you? Yahweh maketh the earth empty, and turns it upside down. Going to make it empty. So we'll go back to Isaiah 13:10. It says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Lawlessness is now so rampant that the leaders of the cities and the governments of the cannot control and organize the people anymore. They can't keep them under control anymore. They've lost control of them. So we have you're going to have something anarchy and insurrection on every hand. And that's what we're having even as we speak. Isaiah 13:12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, and the wrath of the Yahshua of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee everyone into his own land. Now that's Isaiah 13 verse 14. And then over here in Isaiah 31, verse 9, it says something very similar. It says, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Yahshua, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. So the headquarters for the kingdom of heaven is at Jerusalem proper in Israel. That's the headquarters for the kingdom of heaven that's going to come down, that Jerusalem is going to come down right there where the designated kingly palace ground that David set up 3,000 years ago. That's where that's a designated place. It's still a hold because it was done by a covenant, and it still holds today. So now you have Isaiah 31:9, I'll read that again, starting with verse 8. Then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword, not of a mighty man, and his sword not of a mean man, shall devour him. Well, who is this not such a mighty man? But he's a very rich man. That's Donald Trump, antithetical Cyrus. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword. So Obama, Assyrians are Gentiles. So Obama is definitely a Gentile. So is Donald Trump. He's a Gentile too. But the Bible prophecy says, Gentile against Gentile, one's going to fight the other one. Well, that's what they did in the type. Then the Philistines, whenever they were put to flight, then they turned on each other and started killing each other. How about the Gideon battle of the 300 lamps that was burst? And all the Gideonites got up and started killing each other. Well, there you have it right there. So it says here in Isaiah 31:8, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. So, who has the sword then? The house of Israel has the sword. The house of David, they're the ones with the sword. So, as I said, that these Assyrians, Gentiles, are going to flee. Verse 9, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the incense, saith Yeshua, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. They're going to be so glad to find that border of Israel, to get across that border, to get back across there, to their stronghold. The fear is going to envelop them, and they're going to have such fear, and they're going to run completely out of breath, probably, but they're going to run until they get back to their, across the border, where they're safe in their own land. That's the same thing with these Mexicans and all these illegal aliens from the East, these Palestinians, Muslims, terrorists, these Islamics, ISIS, the Al-Qaeda. They're all coming in through South America into our country, right here across the Texas borders, and Mexico and Arizona and California borders are coming right on into here by the thousands, just by the thousands every day. But you know what? One of these days, things are going to develop here in this country, and they are going to, something's going to cause them to have fear in their heart. And Yahweh knows how to put the fear in their heart. And brother, they're going to start running back across that border. Donald Trump won't have to build no wall. He says he's going to build a wall. I know that he'll start it out. Where they have boundary lines, but they're invisible boundary lines. If they're charted by map, those Mexicans one day are going to be so fearful. Something's going to strike fear in their heart. And they're going to head for south that border so fast they can't get there fast enough to get back to their own country. They're going to say, at least I can go back to my own country and don't have to worry about reprisals. I can go back to my home. I may not have anything waiting for me there, but I can go back and find my home where I came from. And be happy and satisfied if I make it back here alive. Many thousands are going to lose their lives heading back, but they're going to head back across that border. Donald Trump says, they said, no, you can't do it. It's impossible. He said, no, I know it is possible. And if I say it, I'll do it. Yeah, they're going to go. They're going to go back. All the illegals for sure is going to go back. Okay, we're rocking along here pretty good. Let's see what else we have about Babylon. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go over to verse 15, Isaiah 13:15. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Now, what are they talking about here? They're talking about those that are fleeing from the sword, that have fallen out and haven't been able to make it back to their stronghold. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. So one that's fallen out, just can't go no further, he's the enemy. If he's found, he's destroyed, and everyone that's with him is also destroyed also. Isaiah 13:16, their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. But who ravishes wives? These are your Muslims. The other ones that ravishes them over there in Africa, those Arab Muslims over there in the Sudan, over there in Africa, out in the outback bushes, they go and they attack those poor tribes of people there, those tribal people in Africa, and they kill and murder their, rape their wives and daughters and everything. It's these Muslims that do this. And they're supposed to be part of this peacekeeping corps that is sponsored by the UN. Boy, I'll tell you, you're talking about a bunch of terror murderers putting fear in the hearts of any of these poor tribal people that live out in the jungle, away from all of that mess and all that strife, and yet they're not safe at that. Isaiah 13:70, behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in. Why? How come the Medes and the Persians, the kings of the Medes and the Persians, Donald Trump and Pence, how come they can't be bought off with a bribe money regarding silver and for gold? They don't need it. They got all the gold and silver that they'd ever want or need. And they don't need to be bribed by somebody saying, no. No, the enemy can't bribe them with anything. Isaiah 13:18. Their bows also shall dash the young man to pieces. B-O-W-S, that's your bow and arrow. And they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Verse 19, Isaiah 13. And Babylon, the king of the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' ecstasy shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And let me tell you right now, Babylon today, headquarters of Washington, D.C., and the U.N., they're like Sodom and Gomorrah. They're evil, 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 evil. Obama, they've already proven his wife is a man. And it's already been published. And she's transsexual. And Obama is also, he's a bisexual. And he goes both ways. And they truly represent Sodom and Gomorrah at its height. Right there in the White House at Washington, D.C. So Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, ecstasy shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So what is that talking about? Well, headquarters of Babylon in the United States is at Washington, D.C., at the White House. That's your headquarters. So what's the prophecy telling us here in the Antitype? And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, ecstasy shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 20, Isaiah 13. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. What does this tell us? In the type, when this prophecy was made, something nearly 3,000 years ago, it said that when Babylon is destroyed, and Cyrus had destroyed Babylon, said it shall never be inhabited again. Talking about that geographical location where the ancient Babylon used to stand. It is now, has been destroyed for all these many thousands of years. And that is never going to be dwelt in anymore. Well, Saddam Hussein, the president of Iraq in 2003, said, yes, it is. I'm building it back upon its own foundation. And I'm going to build it right back according to the original blueprint that Nebuchadnezzar did. I'm going to build it all. And he was using all this oil money and millions of dollars to do this project. Yahweh says, no. Prophecy says it will never be built back up. And that's the reason why it says in Isaiah 13:20, and there's your prophecy on it. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. And boy, how many generations has there been? Man, there's been hundreds of generations since Babylon was destroyed. At night when Cyrus came in and destroyed it. Neither shall the Arabian, this is your Muslim, this is your Ishmaelites, these are your Egyptians, pitch tent there. They're not going to migrate over into the land of Babylon, and they're not going to go up and pitch no tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. No, the shepherds can't go They can't go and take their sheep over there. Isaiah 13:21. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. Oh, so the wild beast of the desert is going to lie there, and all the house shall be full of the doleful creatures. So that Babylon's palace, that once was so magnificent, when Cyrus got through destroying it, what happened? It was a place for wild beasts now to come and lie down there. And the houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyr shall dance there. Isaiah 13:22. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now this is what happened in the history of the type of Babylon. Well, this is the same thing as in the Antitype. Babylon is still a desolate wilderness where it was originally built and stood for a long time. It is not to do that no more. But there still is a mystery Babylon on the scene, and that's Revelation 17:5. Only mentioned one time in Scripture, mystery Babylon. Okay, that ends chapter 13 of Isaiah. Let's see what else we have in Isaiah on Babylon. Isaiah 14, one of my favorite chapters in Isaiah, depicting Lucifer, son of the morning. I don't think his name Lucifer is mentioned. It's only mentioned one time in Scripture. Isaiah 14:1. For the Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and sit them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave unto the house of Jacob. And what are we talking about here? In these last days, the descendants of Jacob, the 12 tribes, the 144,000 prophets, priests, and kings have been purified, tried, and made white, that come through the sanctification process of the sanctuary in our day. I say he's going to have mercy on Jacob and his 12 descendants, represented by his 12 sons, as the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel that's come forth, that is labeled as 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7, chapter 14 of Revelation. It says, for Yahshua will have mercy, or Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and sit them in their own land, and strangers shall be joined with them. They shall cleave unto the house of Jacob. So here's your Gentiles, these strangers, coming and going to cling unto the 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew Israelites. So now, let's look at that Isaiah 14:2 again. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Yahweh for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them of captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. So Yahweh reversed the tables upon the enemy of Israel. He's allowing them now to become the rulers over their oppressors. Well, that's not going to be any fun for them, I'm going to tell you that right now. Those oppressors are going to, if they live to hear tell of it, they'll flee out of that land. Get out of there. Isaiah 14:3, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Verse 4, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased to go in city seat? Yahweh hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the ruler. Scepter means like a shepherd rod. It's a staff. Whoever has the rod has the commission to teach Yahweh's government and to rule over his kingdom. Isaiah 14:6. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruleth the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. Verse 7, the whole earth is at rest and quiet, and they break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved from thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? The pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is the only scripture, Isaiah 14:12, where the name of Satan, that fell from heaven, Lucifer, is mentioned only one time. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down unto the ground, which did weaken the nations? So now Lucifer was called the son of the morning. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall nearly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as the raiment of those that are slain. Thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stone of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. So what's that talking about? Let's go on to verse 20. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now Obama is this one who's talking about. That's not going to be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your own land that belonged to your people, the Muslims, and you have slain thy people. This is Isaiah 14:20. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. But you're not going, it says even Obama, he's not going to be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. You destroyed your own land. Obama's destroyed his own land for his own people. And it says right here, and slain thy people. Then it says, semicolon in there. Then it starts a new thought to add to what you said. It said, the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Isaiah 14:21. Prepare slaughter for his people, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will raise up against them, saith the Yahshua of the host, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Yahweh. I will also make it a possession for the bitter, and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Verse 24, the Yahshua of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian, this is your Gentile heathen barbarian, from the north, in my land. I'm going to break him in my land, and upon my mountains. Tread him underfoot, then shall his yoke depart from off them. So when Yahshua comes, takes the reins in his own hands, and he personally destroys this Assyrian that's treading to our borders, has taken over our people in Israel, says he's going to he's going to break the Assyrian in my land, he says. He's going to break them. And he says, and then the burden of Assyria is going to be broken. The burden is going to depart off of the shoulders of Yahweh's people. Isaiah 14:26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Yahshua of the host hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahab died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, whole Philistina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth the cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, talking about that Satan's root, and all his emissaries and family members. Actually, Obama, Hillary Clinton, and all those evil leaders, they're reptilians. They are blood genetically connected to this here serpent, this fiery dragon. It says, for the firstborn of the people shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. So when Yahshua comes to take the reins into his own hand, he kills off this leader, he kills off the remnant that's with him. And so it says, the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. Howl, O gate, cry, O city. This is the city of Babylon, thou whole Palestinian. Are dissolved. That whole terrorist group of the Muslims, the Arabs, Palestinians, those terrorists, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and so forth, they are dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed time. But shall one then answer the messenger of the nation? Who's the messenger of the nation? This is antitypical Elijah, Malachi 4. The key word is messengers. That the Yahweh has founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. They're not going to trust in these false claims about being in charge of the kingdom, like those two kings, the king of the north and the king of the south, there in Daniel 9:27, where they sit at one table telling lies because they knew each other. And they had come together, each one of them had his own army, and they had fought many times before. One would defeat one time, and the other would defeat him coming back, and they did that for several times over the centuries. And now they come together one last time here in Daniel 11:27. I'm going to read that and bring this sermon to a close. It says, and both these kings, their hearts shall be to do mischief, that's the king of the north, which is the Pope, head of the Catholic Church. And the other king is the king of the south, the Muslim, the Arab, the Egyptian, the Obama. And they shall speak lies at one table. Well, the Pope Francis just this last year came over to see Obama. They sit down at one table trying to agree what they're going to do together to keep this thing together here. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant. And Obama's heart is number one against the Holy Covenant. And Donald Trump has announced that his heart is turned toward the Holy Covenant of Judah. He's a Judahite. And his second wife, Marla Maples, we found out, is a Sabbath keeper, and she is a Judahite. And Donald Trump's daughter has converted to Judaism. Her husband is a Jew. And they all keep the covenant. And Donald Trump is keeping it with them. So it says, then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant. This is Obama. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. And at the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved, and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. He's mad at Yahweh now for him not achieving his success. This Yahweh that he's mad at is this Allah, this here female goddess. That's a goddess of the Muslim. That's what he's mad at. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. So he's going to return and have intelligence with the Catholic Church and these Muslims, and which has forsaken the Holy Covenant. And arms, as military might, shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their Elohim shall be strong and do exploits. So that's who the house of David is. This is who we are. We're this people that do know our Elohim, our Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. We shall be strong and do exploits. This brings a close. Let's study this. Our contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. Revive us again. We praise thee, O Yah, for the Son of the Lord, for Yahshua who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O Yah, for the Spirit of light. He has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Oh, glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill his heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.